Are you tired of feeling like you have no purpose? You don't know where you're going in life? You feel like maybe you need to find your destiny, you know? Maybe you need to find what you are made for. Well, why not embark on a journey right here on Food for Thought with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Vicky Anslin.
A young man came to Encounter, and after coming to an Encounter weekend where his life was radically changed, he went back home and realized he had not been treating his wife correctly. So he decided that he was going to treat his wife, happy man, happy wife, happy life. So yes, he was going to treat his wife in a completely different way. He decided when he got home, instead of plopping onto the couch and not speaking for the rest of the evening while he watched TV, that he would not turn on the TV and he would go and talk to her. He decided to compliment her every night on how beautiful she looked or how incredible she was to him. A week passed. The next week they went on vacation. During vacation, he decided to not complain when things were scheduled that he did not like to do. Instead, he smiled and he never complained. A week later, they were sitting at home and his wife looked at him sadly. He looked at her and said to her, "What is the matter? Why are you so sad?" And she said to him, "A week ago I went to the doctor to run some tests. Do you know something that I don't know? Am I dying?" He looked at her distraught and he said to her, "No, why would you say that?" And she said, "Because you've been so nice to me." His reply to her was, "You're not dying. I'm learning to live." Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And you know, as we understand our purpose, as we understand the Great Commandment, and if you came on Encounter, Friday would have been how you get back to God. God has never left us. He's never forsaken us. The greatest commandment being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The great commandment. And Friday night, we focused on how to get that relationship back with God when we understand, because we've got to understand how much He loves us. We've got to understand that we've been adopted into His own family. And on Friday, as we again get refocused and our perspective comes right, it is easy to step back into that position where we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And then when Jesus was asked, you know, there are 613 Jewish laws, Lord, how do we keep them all? Which one should we put at the top? Jesus said, all the laws rolled into this one. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And on Saturday at Encounter, we focused on the second part of that commandment. You see, how do we show God that we love Him? By loving others. And the problem is when unforgiveness creeps in and betrayal creeps in and hurt creeps in and wounds creep in, now we find it hard to love other people. So we say to God, "I love you, Lord, but it's not so easy to love my brother." And Jesus would answer and say, "But how can you say you love God whom you have not seen when you cannot love your brother whom you have seen?" And so really, it's for us to step back into a place where we love God by loving people, which means we have to lay down our hatred, our vengeance, our unforgiveness, our offense, and we have to let it go and love people. And we really looked at the seven places that Jesus shed His blood. And you know, if you know it, and you should if you've been in the church for a while, then actually go with me. Don't go into autopilot. But if you don't know it, really, as a Christian, this is a revelation to understand that Jesus shed His blood in seven places to set us free on every level. There is no place the devil can hold us. There is no stronghold when we understand that Jesus' blood has given us overwhelming victory. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, the blood of faithfulness as the sweat blood fell from his brow and onto the ground, the first place that Jesus would shed his blood. And I don't have time to go into the significance of each one of those. But if you were at Encounter, if you remain in the vision and in the church, you will begin to learn that year after year after year in a new way, in a new level. Because we have not arrived in our understanding. Amen. But the blood of faithfulness, and then as they ripped out his beard, the blood of identity as that blood was shed. And then as they hit him 39 times on his back, the blood of redemption, the third place. The fourth place was when they placed that crown into his head and they pushed it in, that blood was shed. It would be the blood of conquest. And then the nail that went into his hand, the blood of productivity. And then the nail that went into his feet, the blood of purpose. And now Jesus was dead. But there was still one more place that he needed to shed his blood. And now they took a spear to ensure he was dead. And they pierced his side. And the Bible tells us that blood and water flowed. The separation of white blood cells and red blood cells. To show the trauma that his heart had been through for us. And that was the blood of restoration, that every wound would be healed. And honestly, if we look at the blood of Jesus shed for us, when we change, when we understand the blood of Jesus, we change. And when we change, everything changes. We step back into our families, a different person. We step back into our workplaces, a different person. And one of the girls on Encounter said, it doesn't matter what happened at work on Friday. You can step back into work on Monday, a world changer. You don't step back into your place at work on Monday the same as you were on Friday. And so our marriages should look different. Our children, our relationships with our children and our children should look different. And our nation should look different. And our country needs to change. Amen. Our country needs to change, and we cannot be the people who are going, yeah, no, our country needs to change, the government needs to do this, and this needs to be sorted out. No, God is saying, you are my plan, you are in the nation, and you have a sphere of influence, and we are to change the nation. And then we know that through the blood, and if you study it, we have been given back our influence. And our dominion. That is what the blood of Jesus came to do. When God was speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden, he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion. Replenish, subdue, and have dominion. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish, subdue, and have dominion. It was our sphere of influence that was taken away. And the cross has restored that. The cross and the blood of Jesus has restored us so that we have influence. And listen to this. Genesis chapter 13, verse 17 says, arise. It means get up. It means if you were in a state of death, you are now resurrected. Arise. It means don't sleep anymore. It means there's work to be done. Get up. Arise. And then it says, walk in the land. With our feet, we need to go and walk in the land that we are in. It's not when I get to, when I'm married, when I earn money. We like to be when I type of people, right? When the holiday's over, when what God is going, no, arise, walk in the land through its length and through its width. Through its length and through its width. Do you see what God is telling us to draw in the land, to bring in the land, to show in the land? The cross of Jesus Christ. In its length and in its width, arise and go into the land as far as I will give it to you. Go. Go and bring salvation. Go and tell about Jesus. Tell every person there is an opportunity every single day. You know, our problem is we like to tell people how good we are. Instead of telling people how good Jesus is. We're trying to make a good impression about how good we are. When God is going, could you rather tell people how good I am? How much I can change their lives? How much I can bring restoration? People are desperate for us to tell them about Jesus. And so if you know the vision of Jesus is that we win people. We bring people into the kingdom of Jesus. We tell them there's a God who loves them and then consolidate them. So the ladder of success looks like this: win, consolidate, disciple, and send. And Gavin was speaking in the meeting this morning and he was saying, this is the hardest thing as a Christian, but it was exactly what we were born for. We think we were born to be married. We think we were born to make money. We think those are all the other things. But we were born and created to bring people into the kingdom. Jesus died so that none should perish. No one, but so that all should be saved. That person you think is so bad, that person that you think is so evil, and then when they die, you go, justice! And Jesus is going, I died so that none should perish, so that all should be saved. Possibly. That person that died, the person that was supposed to minister to them, just never did. And so they died void of the love of Christ, void of knowing Jesus as Savior. And so we have to win people into the kingdom and then consolidate, which means to make solid. Consolidate means that you are helping the person to become solid in their faith. If a person has been walking unfaithful or unknowing of God for 20 years, they're not suddenly going to know how to do things right. They're still going to have the old habits, the old patterns, the old character. And the blood of Jesus, through the blood of restoration, teaches us how we can change those habits with the character of Christ. But we've got to help people to learn that. The person goes, you know, I stripped when that happened. And you go, you know, there's another way you could have handled this. And they're going, yeah, but you don't understand. And you're going, can I share with you perhaps this is what you should have done. And suddenly now, there's an opportunity for the person to respond in a way they didn't even know was possible. You know, people are so hurt, they continue to respond to life in the same way all the time. You know it and I know it. We've seen it in our own lives. But there is another way. There is a higher way if we will allow ourselves to be changed by the blood of Jesus. And we all need to be consolidated. We all need people speaking into our lives. Who is saying no to you? Who is the person in your life you give permission to say no to you? If your answer is my boyfriend, your answer is wrong. There should be a person who can speak above your boyfriend or girlfriend, who can tell you what you are doing is right or wrong. If you are married and you say it is my wife or my husband, your answer is wrong. While you should submit to one another, there should be someone who's able to tell you, hey, you are doing the wrong thing in your marriage. You are not treating your spouse correctly. Hey, you are not doing the right thing in your business. That is dishonest. There should be someone like that we have in our lives. And that's discipling. You disciple someone. You can send them now, and that you're discipling them. They form the character of Christ in them, and you never leave them. To be in relationship with people always. You know, when I read these things, if someone's not good for you, I'm not talking in a relationship now. Some people get into really bad relationships, dating relationships. You can't stick with that type of thing. Discipling is not discipling someone of the opposite sex, right? Right? It's not Christian dating, discipling that thing. You meet girls. What are you doing? Nah, I want to get him into church. The look on my face when they say that. And the words that proceed from my mouth thereafter. The point is, you cannot disciple someone of the opposite sex. You can't. Because there are intentions, either from you or from the other person. And so, listen to Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. It says this. It says, ask me to give you the nations. God speaking to us. Not to your pastor. To you. To us. God speaking to us says, ask me to give you the nations. How many people are in the nations? Because we think, oh Lord, just give me the one person. And God's going, it's not biblical. Ask me to give you the nations. And I will do it. It's a promise. ask me to give you the nations, and I will do it. And they shall become your legacy. Who becomes your legacy? Your children becomes your legacy, your inheritance. God is saying, ask me to give you the nations, and I will give it to you. And they will become your legacy. God's word is not a lie. This is not a mistake. This is not for some. It's not headed and for the elite of my chosen. It says for all of us, ask me to give you the nations. Do you know when you pray every morning, you can say, Lord, give me the nations as my legacy, as my inheritance. Let me bring them to you. And you are praying according to God's will. And what does the Bible say when you pray according to God's will? He will answer you. And he will give it to you. His answer will not be no, not today. And his answer will not be maybe not. His answer will be I will give it to you. And then it says, and they shall become your legacy. Your domain will stretch to the ends of the earth. Do you see the pattern of the Bible? Jesus died for every person on the earth. And then he says, now I'm giving you the nations. Go across the length and the width. I'm giving you the people to the ends of the earth. Your domain will stretch to the ends of the earth. There are no boundaries. There are no nationalities that are out of your boundary. There are no people that are out of your boundary. So if you don't like certain people, get rid of that now. It's unbiblical. Yes, Active Church? Yes. We are not xenophobia. We are no phobia when it comes to people. If they are humans, we love them. If they are humans, we want to get them to Jesus. Yes? Yes. Amen. And so then it says, and you will shepherd them with unlimited authority. You will shepherd them. You will be the shepherd and they will be your sheep. You will look after them. You will love them. You will take care of them. You will find them. You will rebuke them. You will feed them. That's what it says. You will be the shepherd with unlimited authority. Oh no, Lord, I don't have all the authority. By the blood of Jesus, we were given back our influence and our dominion. Will we step into it? You see, the blood of Jesus has given us everything. Jesus says, will you? Will you receive what I've given you? Complete victory. Will you walk in it? Or in your stubborn nature, will you refuse? And then he says this, and now for some of you, you'll battle when you read this, when you hear it. It says, crushing their rebellion as an iron rod smashes jars of clay. It's so hard, Lord. I must crush their rebellion. It sounds harsh. But if you've ever had a rebellious child, you understand they have the ability easily to bring destruction on themselves. And they have the ability easily to bring destruction on other people. And so God has given us the authority and the ability to crush the rebellion. Not them, the rebellion, the thing that will destroy them so that they can become the very best he has and have the very best he has for them. So we're not bringing them a disservice. We're actually saving them from themselves. And I remember discussing with a family member a little while ago, we were chatting, and they said to me, you know, I just find it so pointless. I've been going to church for years and years, decades, and you go every Sunday and you come back and you just get fatter and fatter as a Christian spiritually. You receive the spiritual food and you just get fatter and fatter as a Christian. But you, really, all you're doing is you're going to church and you're coming back. And I said to them, that is why I love the vision so much. Because you're not going to church and coming home. You are receiving a word that changes your life radically, that challenges the living daylights out of you. Because Jesus challenged the living daylights out of people that they walked away from him. They went, this is too hard. But it challenges us that we can begin to be real, that we can begin to have a testimony, and we can begin to tell people, help people. It's all about dying to yourself. And the only people I have discovered who hate the vision are people who refuse to die to themselves and refuse to be accountable because of sin. They want the sin. They are desperate for the sin. The rebellious nature inside of them is so strong, they refuse. And they walk, and when they walked away from Jesus, he looked at his disciples and said, "Are you going too?" He did not go, "I can't believe they've left me. Do you know how much I poured into them?" He went, "Are you also going? Because if you go, I will build another 12. He didn't say that, but literally Jesus would have done that. He would have built into whoever was going to change the world with him. And so honestly, my prayer is we would begin to become serious Christians. When I pray every morning, I pray that the active church would become a church that is deeply rooted and grounded in the love of God. A church that becomes deeply rooted and grounded in the vision of Christ. A church that is broken, that the shackles of sexual immorality are broken. The shackles of addiction are broken. And the shackles of lies and deceit are broken. Because we think lies and deceit are such a small thing, but it destroys people's lives. You see, lies and deceit are the very thing we use to hide our sin. And God came into the Garden of Eden and said, "I refuse you hide your sin. I refuse it. We will have to shed blood and cover it so there's an exchange, so that the blood can show you I can change who you are." We're not hiding anything. So whatever you've been hiding in your life, God's saying, no more hiding. He's not going, "What have you done?" He's going, "Where are you? Where are you? Hey, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Why have you hidden? Come, come." They watched as he shed the blood of an animal. They watched as he skinned them, the animal, and clothed them. And he said to them, "We're not hiding any sin here. We're changing." He was pointing them to the blood of Jesus. He was pointing them to the cross. He was pointing them to overwhelming victory that would be ours. That we would uproot demonic power. That we would uproot curses. That we would be healed of wounds. That we would be healed of the stuff that we've been walking through for decades in our lives, thinking this is normal. With all our insecure thoughts, with all our inferiority complexes, with all our rubbish. And he's going, "I can't change the world if you like that. But if you accept the blood and you understand what the blood has done for you, we can change the world together. You can change the nation." And that's what God wants to do. And honestly, today's I am purposed. I am purposed. We were appointed by God. We were anointed by God. And we were assigned to bring people to him. And when God looks at you, he doesn't just see you. When he looks at your child, if you have a child, he doesn't just see your child. He sees seed upon seed upon seed upon seed upon seed upon generation upon generation upon generation past 1,000 generations. And so the question this morning is, will you? Will you be purposed for the kingdom of Christ?
Jesus will stay.
The exceptional new act of worship album, As Above, So Below, is out. Get your very own copy on iTunes. Also available on Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, and so much more.